This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's a goal! What a goal! It's absolutely world-class from Marcus Tunde!
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flynn wins the goal! It's the goal!
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes!
Oh, my word!
The Wednesday
way!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. My name's Dan Fudge. Today, we're talking about our 1-0 victory away at the New York Stadium against Rotherham United. Tonight, joining me, I've got Simon, Charlie and Ash trying to make sense of all things that was the Miller Thriller. Ash, how are you getting on, pal? You all right? How's the hangover? Did you get boshed up?
No, I didn't. I only had a couple of pints, Daniel, because I'm a respectable adult these days. A bit deceiving, the title on this week's podcast, though. It was hard.
Yeah. I was going to go with Fairy Tale of New York, but I'd already done the artwork and couldn't be asked to change it. So I went with Miller Thriller and then went, well, that weren't exactly thrilling. So it's tongue firmly in cheek on that one, Ash. That's what's happening. Now, purveyor of the noodle-based content, Charlie. If anybody's not seen Charlie's TikTok, by the way, tell us all about it, Chaz, because it's one of my favourite things.
Right, so I think I should probably preface this. I have autism. So from the outset, this is very important and key to this. I really like noodles and I'm very worried that I'm going to eat too many of the same type of noodles and get really bored of it. So I've started reviewing different kinds of noodles.
Right.
Different kinds of noodles and pastas, like pot pastas.
And pastas. Pop, I always said there's pastas dry get noodles, in there. What about pastas?
What about like tinned ravioli as well?
You know, no, not in a tin. No, Ash, no. No, it's not in a tin. Right. It's not
instant. You're talking instant, aren't you?
Instant noodles, instant pasta. Oh, yeah. It's not. I'm not a chef. It's not in a tin. It's hot water. So eat it.
Done. Finished. That's it. I've been up and down from London. I've been up and down. Who remembers pot mash? Is that what someone?
I love pot mash.
That was elite. That was elite. I've just realised you can't see our things at the bottom. So, oh, I should have moved spots. So, you know, Simon, how are you? You all right, pal? How was your weekend? All right?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, cheers. Seems like ages since I've been on, but now I'm here.
We've missed you, pal. We've missed you.
Sure? I've been on holiday, by the way. Who'd have thought?
I didn't know any of you knew.
You've got a lovely glow.
Ah, that's the lighting. Let's get into it, Ash. You know, you were there. Tell us about the lineup. Tell us about the long trip down the road, up the road that you did.
Oh, mate, it was amazing. I think good. I think I left my house at about 10 to 2, and I got parked up at 2:15, and I were home for about 20 to 6. It was brilliant.
Nice.
Could we play you every week? Not just the 3 points, the fact that I can get home all right. It was good, mate. It was good. I tweeted out in the morning, I think you did as well, Dan, that I was nervous about the game. I freely admit it. Just purely because, and it was well documented by Rotherham podcast fans, that they've got nothing else to play for. This is their game this season, for the rest of the season. So they're gonna inverted commas try. So that means it's. So I was nervous for it, mate. I was, but I thought the team selection, there was only one in force, weren't there? Bernard was missing. So which for Maywell come in, which is not too bad, is it? Not a bad bad swap for us. But other than that, when I saw the team at 2 o'clock, it was, yeah, can't argue. Don't change your winning team and all that sort of malarkey cliches come out, don't they? But they look a good team though in the last couple of games. So whoever he was picking, I was quite confident in his team. But saying that, the result wise, I was nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't fancy it. I had a pre-show hello from the other side with Matt from the Rotherham podcast, and we both said, you know, it could be an absolute spanking, or they could absolutely sneak it 1-0. Like it had the makings of that before we played. Given that, I don't want to use the phrase, but this was their cup final, and to an extent, it was ours as well. And given the way that the other fixtures have gone in the league, there's an element of these have become games that we needed to win. You know what I mean? These have everybody else seems to be picking up points, and these wins that we've got, we've won four out of the last five, and it's just to keep up. Just, you know what I mean? And it's quite frustrating, but what it's done, it's sent the bottom half of the table absolutely wide open. We're now not keeping an eye on just one team, two teams above us. There's about six that we're going, aye, we could have you guys. You know what I mean? Now, Simon, I'll put the graphic up. I'm looking now at the team. You've got Beadle, Valentin, Palmer, Ihekwe, Vermeewell, Johnson, Pervada, Volks, Bannon and Masaba, and Ugbo playing up front. Like Ash says, you know, a like-for-like change with Vermeewell, you wouldn't change that, would you?
No, not at all. I think this is, what, his third time he's kept the same side since Millwall, am I correct? Other than, obviously, the forced change with Bernard having to be replaced by Femwo. And it seems to be reaping dividends, doesn't it? I mean, you can't drop Ugbo, Pervada and Volks, Saba. No, I would say that is... I would go into that tomorrow night. It's a winning formula, isn't it? And it's proved so over the three games we've now played. Now,
Simon, go on.
Well, you can't fault the fact that we've got what nine points now over three games with a settled side, bar one change. So it's superb. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the way that BBC have set it up there as a 5-4-1, I'd have said that you've. Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as saying that's what it was, and I thought Palmer would have moved up a bit. But the delectation of being able to switch it up and go a bit more attaching against Rotherham was right there. The temptation is the word I'm looking for. Just to go, do you know what? It's Rotherham. They're struggling at the bottom of the league. Let's go and smash six past them. Try and make a dint in that goal difference, but. I think that we're going to be fighting a losing battle against that, if I'm honest. Now, Chaz, we've had a couple of comments in reference to noodles there. I can't work out if Vampire Millwall is religious or not. Ash, if you want to smash that up for me, please. He's gone with Rayman. So that's elite. Nice, isn't it?
Elite. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they're all right. They're all right. Now, Chaz, evening all, Smitty. Are you all right, son? if you want to get involved, if you want to send some comments, by all means, get us involved. Now, Chaz, what was your preconceptions of this game? How did you feel like it was going to go?
So I didn't want to say anything because everyone was sort of saying, like, we're defo losing this, like, defo losing it. And I thought, if I start saying, no, I really think we've got it, I thought I'm going to jinx it. But I really did think we did. Like, Huddersfield has scared me for games like this because it's almost like we're picking up all those vital points, but any of the teams like that are really low, like around us, and like in many ways, like it wouldn't have made as much difference to Rotherham, but it would make all the world a difference if there's going to be anyone they're going to be. And also for us to lose to someone like that would have been so much worse. But I think you just had to look at it. Like, you just had to look at how their season's gone and how their season's gone recently, like their recent form. And you're like, compared to our recent form, we absolutely should have been flattening them. So it was very much like a first goal wins this kind of vibe for me. I think, like, it was, you know, whoever feels like they're going to be on top, the other team's just going to fall apart. And thankfully that ended up being us. So yeah, I was quietly confident, but I didn't want to say.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you're shy of talking on one hand, but if you do listen to our show quite regularly, or you've subscribed, you will find a show that you hosted in which you weren't quiet. Really? You did a great job. The Women Supporters Group Takeover show that you did with Holly and Beth, and it's M, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like, honestly, did a great job. And while I was sat editing that, Chaz, I learned a few things. You know, I say a lot of things close to the bone. You know, it's a whole damn fudge experience. But I feel like you did really well on that one. Fair play. And I make this look easy, don't I? You know what I mean? Don't I?
True. It was, I used all my questions up in the first 5 minutes. And I was like, yep. Oh, no. We've yep. got a yep. long way to go. So
we do something really good. The ladies speak really well on a pod. You make it all about yourself, Dan, don't you?
Again, that's the full damn fudge experience, yeah. Ash. You know what I mean? What else am I going to do? You know what I mean? What have we got from the interswebs from Ash on the right stuff?
Well, breaking news.
Pigs are losing already.
Oh, dear.
Is it 6-1 yet?
No. Yes, it better not be, I tell you. So... we've got, here we go, from the starting lineup for WRC, a long-time contributor, first-time caller and all that, whatever the thing is. He seems to like the back three with the wing-backs. It's working well. And it is in the opening gambit.
Well, that's interesting, actually, Ash. I'll come to you on specifically that point, right? So we've had a few managers going back to the Monk Trumpet, who's back in work today at Cambridge United. He sort of said... like, you're laughing, Charlie. You've put me off there. I was going to just sail past that gag. Just sail past it, and you've done me. Everybody's tried to play four at the back. We've tried to play a 4-4-2, a 4-3-3, something like that. But we always seem to come back to this essential five at the back, Ash. I mean, do you feel like it's not the most glamorous of formations, but given that we've got Valentin and Johnson doing what they do down the left and right, like, it seems to sit well with us, right?
Yeah, I think you just nail on the head. When you say five at the back, the preconceived five, flat five at the back, isn't it? It's not anymore, is it? A lot of teams are adopting the three at the back, then with players like Valentin, which, for me, I'll say it, has been much improved in the last six games. Absolutely like a different player from what he had been earlier in the season. And it's pretty good to see that he's now getting a run in the side and it's paying dividends, because I thought he's quite a... all right, defensively sometimes, and his crossings, but obviously attacking-wise, he's always there. And that link-up with Palmer on the right-hand side the last couple of games has looked pretty tasty. And obviously we know all about Johnson, which we can go into the whys and wherefores of why the Spanish, God knows what, decided to leave him on a beach in Dubai, where he's been one of the most consistent players we've had now, hasn't he, since Danny Rule's come. So, I mean, yeah, three at the back for me. And it's, I tell you what, it's good to see that obviously Bernard dropped out, he is one of the first names on the team sheet. And Femewo can come in. And then even further on in the game, Diaby come on. And he looked assured as well, where before I've had him a few times for thing, but he came on. So we have got, with Palmer and Inekwe, we've got five centre-backs there that actually... You're looking at aren't half bad that you wouldn't be happy with any of them stepping in now, which I think we answered that for a while, have we? We've had two centre backs that you'd nail on, and then it's like, oh God, we don't really want to put him in, do we? Type of thing.
I tell you what, the way that Rule's using Bambo, Simon, I noticed it. What was the last game at Hillsborough where we did the egg drop? My brain's absolutely gone to mush.
Bristol,
yeah, Bristol City. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. So when we played Bristol City, Bambo came on last 10 minutes, and I was genuinely concerned that, like, Oh shit! You know, we've seen a few ricks in him, and we've seen a few points where he's dropped his ass. But he's the way he's used him, and he used him against Rotherham the exact same. I'm a big fan of that. Absolutely shores it up for me.
I think with Bambo is that what he has to do is just do the basics. He's really good at doing the basics right. He's a big unit, heading the ball, last ditch tackles. The problem I have is when he then tries to play football. And that's when he gets himself into trouble. He's an old-fashioned centre-back. So I was going to, from what Ash was saying, I was going to mention Michael Ihekwe, because since he's come in, and I think he came in at the Preston game just between Christmas and New Year, he's been absolutely immense. Because I think a lot of us have sort of said, because of he's not the quickest on the ball. He's probably one of the, now we've got this new crop of centre-backs coming through, he's probably one of the older defenders. He was suited perfectly for League One. Obviously, Rotherham, we purchased him off Rotherham when they went into the Championship. But he's been, I mean, he headed everything, absolutely everything. If Rotherham had thrown brick walls at him, he would have headed them out of the way. He was just immense. And that's what Bambo needs to do. Bambo just needs to do the simple stuff. We've got, with Paul and Johnson at either side, we've got the football players. The football players are there. Win the ball, get it to Paul's pace, Johnson's sweet left foot. Even when Bernard's back in the side, he's a footballer. He can play the ball as well as defend. Just do the simple stuff. It's when he then tries to do a Cruyff or he tries to turn a player, that's when you suddenly go, mate, there are levels and that ain't quite your level. And that's... Now, I'm hoping, by the way Danny's using him, is bringing him in and slowly bringing him back into the side, that he's starting to realise that I do the simple things. I just cut the ball out, head the ball. I do the simple things. Let the talent around us do what they have to do. And as simple as that, it's. I think the trouble is when he has too much time on the ball and then thinks, hang on, I'll just take this player on, that player on, and that's when he shits himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've got a few comments about Bambo. I shall just chuck them up while I'm talking here, because some of them are absolutely sublime. We've got Bambo still concerns me, not assured enough for me, just what you guys are saying. Like, you know, when he starts to play football, we're all a bit, oh, Jesus. But when it comes to playing, you know, shit kick of football, he can shit kick. You know what I mean? He's king of the shit kick. And then Fordy's gone with Bambo as a Chisco player, so we'll let him off. You know what I mean? He's learned how to play football under Danny. You know what I mean? So that's nice, isn't it? What was that? Did I see, Ash, that was 3-0 down the Blades? Look at that. We're doing a watch-along on our Sheffield rivals.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Pardon? Yeah. They're what?
3-0 down already, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on from them.
In case you don't know, Ash and I and our mates from school have got a group bet on, and I've got Arsenal to win 6-1 this evening. If they pull that off tonight, I walk away with the prize pot. So three down, four more to go. All right then. So Chaz Beans, what was going to go right? So the football started and Rotherham set themselves up. Jan Pervader was great at saying how it was in Rugby Union FC. Quite a good gag, that, must admit. Big fan. And they decided they were just going to kick lumps of us. Then we had a free kick on the right-hand side. It sailed in and Femewo absolutely smashed an header in. Then what happened and what did you think about it?
So I was watching on the stream and I didn't have the sound on because I were at the tram stop. So for the longest time, I couldn't work out what the problem must have been until it panned over to the flag. And I was like, by what definition of that rule is that being applied? I've got to be honest, and I hope this is not a controversial thing to say. I think that he saw the wrong player and thought it came off a different black player. I'm sorry. I don't see any other possible way that he could have made that decision. I don't think if, you know, Barry was stood in that position, he would have mistook those two players. It is possibly one of the worst offsides I've ever seen. I think it rivals the one where they used at Hillsborough when they used the replay on the screen as like VAR for no reason. that was another one where you look back and you go, no, it wasn't. That was ridiculous. Or there wasn't a foul, whatever it was. But like, it's just, thank God it did not cost us those 3 points, because it's stuff like that where you're like, you absolutely cannot rely on the officiating in this.
And you have to say bollocks like they all even up through the season and all that shit.
As though they do. And it's things as well, like, you know, without things like VAR and without that kind of thing, it's like, yeah, of course you're just relying on those decisions in the moment. And we've all seen things where, you know, like perhaps we've had red cards go in our favour, red cards go against us, where you've had to look back and you've watched it from 700 different angles and we're all arguing amongst ourselves. But this particular goal, it's been tweeted by like every bloody football Twitter account, in, you know, people that have no idea who, you know, they're calling us Sheffield, whatever it is. And you just like, yeah, it's outrageous. Like, it's complete outrageous. And it's such a good goal. Like, it's such a deep, absolutely, like, stunning crossing, pinpoint header, smashes it back in. I do believe as well, like, getting the goal at that point when we were so on top would have led to more and more and more. I'm sorry, I just think it would. Like, we were peppering them in that first half.
Let me just make a note of that. Let me just... referee is racist. Yes, Charlie said that they are. I've made a note of it. So
he's not racist, he's blind. So one of the two.
He's a blind racist. That's the name of the show right there. Go on, Simon, you're going to add on.
I was going to agree with Charlie. Well, firstly, I agree entirely in regards. I think he thought Ihekwe was the player who was judged offside. Although when you play it back, Ihekwe wasn't even offside from the run either. Mm-hmm. And listen to the commentary I had on, I think it was Andy Giddins or it might have been Rob Statton, basically said that they thought that Ihekwe was interfering with one of the defenders. I don't know. But at that particular time, we were absolutely smashing them. And I agree absolutely wholeheartedly with Charlie, was that if we'd that been given, it would have been a score to rival anything at Bramall Lane. Mm-hmm. It would have been a huge score, I think, because Rotherham were proper rocking at that point. Yeah. We'd had a couple of chances beforehand. I mean, that free kick, can I just put a kudos to Will Volks?
Yeah, I was going to come to that.
5 minutes beforehand, which pulled off a fantastic save from Johansson. And then the free kick would obviously result in the goal, not goal. His free kicks were superb. And if there's ever somebody to take Bannon away. And it does seem to be that he's taking more corners now than Bannon and free kicks than Bannon. Maybe we have somebody who's being dressed to be the replacement to Bannon as time marches on for our captain.
Yeah, I think you might be right. If that had gone in, though, that would have been all those accounts that Charlie was talking about there would have played that lovely bit of free kick. It'd have been all over the second tier podcast, all over the shop, wouldn't it? On this day in 2024, Will Volks did this sneaky kick like it's retro or something. Go on, Ash.
I have to agree with both of the Charlie and Simon. I think it was just one attack after another, like a wave. Mm-hmm. And it was purposeful attack as well. It was like you say, it was Pervada took the ball on the right hand side. I think it was their number 22 who had a torrid afternoon. Pervada was
that the geezer with the cornrows? Looks like a BTEC R. Kelly.
Yes, I think he was. Yes,
he does not look like a footballer, does he? He's shaped like a potato with arms.
I should know a very thing. I'm not doing my homework. I should know the geezer's name. Give him. He's a professional footballer. He should have a thing. But he had a turret and Pervada took one, killed one just past the top corner. It would have been a great and to open his account as well. But yeah, agree with Volks. I think, and I've said this a few players now, and it's getting unnerving by saying that you're thinking a lot of players are playing well over the last 4 or 5 games. But Volks, again, I know he had a bit of time out of the team for whatever reason. I thought his delivery was superb. Absolutely. The corners, we've said it for years, haven't we, I'm sure, and about beating the first man and Bannon's 9 out of 10 corners have not been good enough. Does the odd one occasion, but we haven't scored from set pieces for so long that you've got to swap it up. You've got to change it up. And for me, Volks looks like he's got the honours.
Yeah, there's been a couple of shouts there, aren't there, on the comments, Ash, thank you. Volks had probably his best game for us today, my man of the match. I thought he was sublime. And And yeah, and Volks's delivery is getting better and better each week for me. It really is. It's absolutely, you know, it's great to see Volks back, because when we were on that mega run back in League One, him, Bannon and Byers were absolutely incredible. And Volks and Byers kind of dropped off a little bit. And it was Gaz Robinson's second favourite triangle, don't tell his missus. I'd love to know what his first is if we're not telling the missus. So, you know what I mean? So, right, we've got to half-time, Ash. You know, pie was 8 out of 10, according to your boy, had a steak pie. There's always been good pies at Rotherham. You've got to give them that. You can't fuck about when it comes to a good pie.
Of course you can't.
You know what I mean? How did you feel at halftime? Was there a sense of inevitability about it?
I think going on the first half performance, yes, there was. Mm-hmm. It was, like I said, I was shaking like a shitting dog nervous before. But obviously the first half, the way it went, it was just a bit of, you're right, Dan.
You made squash come out of my nose, you prick.
but you do. It was frustrating, especially with obviously the chances we had, and obviously the disallowed goal, which, like I say, yeah, it was all. And it was just half time, and in the stadium, it was great. Away days for Wednesday. That's one thing the fans do, and I say about it, it's different class. Not that I've been in many other clubs away days, like, but the fans are brilliant, really good. All around the stadium, not just in the away end, if you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. How many Wendy fans did you see dotted around the home areas? Because they didn't sell it out. Just give us more tickets, lads. We'll make you money.
It came up as a sellout. So in the morning, they said they sold out, no more tickets. But there were bunches and bunches of seats, not just ones or twos that people are on holiday or something. You know, there were rows that could see that were empty, but that's up to them. That's not for us. We sold out, so that's banging, isn't it? And we sold more. So yeah, half time come, went for a pint with the lad, and it was pretty buzzing in the concourse. Just people talking, obviously getting on the phones about the disallowed goal. It was one of them. But then obviously it's the second half started.
Now, Simon, the second half, oh God almighty, weren't exactly free-flowing classic football, were it? And I feel like Rotherham got on top for a brief period.
Yeah, I understand Charlie's positivity, but when I started, I'd sort of followed the Leeds game before we kicked off, and you just looked at that, and Huddersfield were 1-0 up, and then I think Bamford scored, didn't he? But it was literally in the last 10 minutes against 10 men for virtually the entire second
half. You just
half.
Know that Patrick Bamford walks into a shop and asks for a frothy coffee.
Absolutely. Frothy.
Or one of them 18-syllable frappe mocha javachinos. You know what I mean? One of them.
Something along those lines.
17-syllable and a slice of tiffin just because
with milk from a goat from the Outer Hebrides. And And then looking at the other results, QPR and stuff like that, I sort of said to Ethan, I says, this has got a fuck up written all over this. I just thought, and then they started coming into it a little bit more, but not with any great style. It was lump it forward, basically, and throw the big lads up front and hope to the causes. And that's when Ihekwe came into his own, because he was just literally, bosh, back out. And I just thought, oh, they're going to get a spozzy goal. And then, you know, you're looking at everybody else. And you're going to look at everybody else who's winning. And I was just like, oh, please don't. And
yeah,
there was this squeaky bum time for a while. And then he changed it up. I mean, I don't...
These substitutions, right, were absolutely bloody mental. I wonder if I've got them here to hand. Hang on. So here we are. Look, right, so... It took off Pervader, Volks, who was having a stormer, and that was a double sub, wasn't it? Pervader and Volks for Kasama and Smith.
Yeah,
you know, I'm glad Smudge got a run out against his old club. And then 15 minutes later, he took off Masaba for Diaby, but we'd already scored by then. But those substitutions to me. Oh, and Iorfa came on as well. Came on for Paul. Now, those three subs, that triple substitution for me was mad as a fish in petrol. It was absolutely insanity. And the amount of tweets that it was like, what are you bloody doing? Hey, oh, what are you bloody doing, Pervader? And what, play record? What are you? And then a minute and a half later, Chaz, that man again. Boeing, Boeing, as Blair says.
Boeing, Boeing. I'll Boeing, never. Boeing. Till the, I nearly crashed my car listening to that back. Like, it was just like that were what it were.
It was, it was the disbelief in my voice. I just could not believe he'd said it.
I can't drive down the parkway now because Boeing have got a factory on the parkway going to Sheffield. And as I drive past it, I'm just like,
it's going to be Kyogmo.
that's my next tweet. That's going to be. I'm going to get a photo of the Boeing building with Ugbo at the side of it.
For those who are listening that didn't hear the other week, Ash was hosted and he went, Ike Ugbo, Blair, what about him? And Blair went, Boeing, Boeing. Like he'd seen the word Boeing written down and decided that's how it's spelt. And Ash was kind of, Ash, I've known you for a long time and I know you can deal with absolute stupidity because you've known me for so long. And you went, wait, what?
it was actually, I thought that it had frozen because I was listening to it in the car. Yeah. And it just went silent. It just went silent. I thought, what? What's happened?
So when you see aeroplane tweets from us, that's where it's from. It's all Blair's fault. Now, Chaz, that man again, the airplane master himself, get him on the plane. Here he is. He's come up again. It's easy for him now, isn't it?
It's unbelievable, and it's to the point where you finally start to feel like you can have faith in him to score. Like, I mean, you know, like when we started playing CADs a lot, and it was like, oh my god, he's scoring every game, but that was like two, maybe three games, and then you go, oh okay, he's not scoring every game, that's fine. But with Ugbo, it's like no, like he scores all the time. That's just what he does. And I think you obviously have to give credit to everyone that's working around him. I mean, just the build up to it, and the fact that he knows exactly where he needs to be, and he knows that he's going to get those crosses in. So he's not doing it all by himself, but he's goal hungry. He's just goal hungry.
Goal hungry.
He's goal hungry. And he's so, I don't know, there's no panic in it. There's no, like, there was the run from Gassama in the second half. And he did this, like, amazing run. Absolutely skilled. Amazing. Sorry, I've just seen that tweet.
Sorry, Chaz. You were absolutely tearing through there.
Done, and Martin, yeah. Sorry,
Martin came in with British Blairways.
That's amazing.
That is.
Sorry, Chaz. Go on. Can you pick up where you left off?
I can pick up where I left off. And like Sammy does this absolutely fantastic run, gets around everybody. And then as soon as he gets kind of towards the goal, it's like, ugh! And it's just that panic comes in, and you can just see that kind of that whereas with Ugbo, there's a calmness there. There's a clinicalness to it. And that is just what we've been needing for so long. Someone that it's like, you get the ball there, he is going to score. And what is he now? Is he the top scoring January signing of the league or whatever it is? Something like that?
Yep.
Is he our top goal scorer ever? Maybe, probably.
a lot of people drawing correlations between him and Kenwyn Jones.
What I'm impressed with is just his movement as well.
Yeah,
play the ball into him. I saw Bristol City where he got the ball into feet, turned and put one away. But then on Saturday, his movement was great. Oh. I mean, props to Dom Iorfa. I know he's been out a while, but he was the one on the byline that's pulled it back.
Was
a great ball in, wasn't it?
And it was a great ball in. And for me, I thought it was from, obviously, it was a far end. My eyes are shot, you know what? So I just thought it were a scruffy, like, bundled it in. But then when I watched the replay, actually, it was a great finish. Yeah.
He goes tearing in, and then kind of the defender follows him, and then just goes, just going to step back, a little bit, about 2 yards, yard and a half, and goes, cheers, pal, boink, and that's it. I think someone wrote there, it's a massive help that he's played with Masaba before. There is definitely a connection there. That's,
you can see that massively.
That's obviously there. But yeah, that was, and you're right, Ash, he did do it against Bristol City as well. He did exactly the same thing where he's kind of gone, hang on a minute, I'm a bit wily here, watch this, here we go. So, right, so, 1-0 up, saw it out, didn't really, it looked like we were going to take it home after that. We weren't on the back foot, were we, Ash?
No, they didn't have a shot on target. They had 4 shots, I believe.
And I've got stats. Do you want some stats? Here we go, here's some stats, Ash. Talk about stats, Ash.
Oh. They had set. Oh, well, I saw a different one then. 7 shots, 1 on target. I can only suggest that the one on target was the one that Bannon cleared away.
Maybe.
I think he was. I don't know if that would have gone wide or not. I don't know, but he was there, so that's good. But then, no, they didn't really trouble at all. They had a couple of shots from distance, and it was just, they were just really poor. And even as nervous as I was, and I was feeling better in the second half, as time went on before the goal, it was like, oh, but they did not show anything at all. And it harks back to us in the bad days of the Championship.
The bad days, earlier on this season.
Yeah.
I was gobsmacked how bad they were, to be honest, because I think listening to the show last week, you were all saying there was in sort of nervousness to the game. And Rotherham have always been that banana skin, haven't they? That even when we've been the team that's been in the ascendancy. They're down. And that is them done. But I did expect some amount of pride to play for, that they could actually scupper our hopes of staying up. But they offered so little. I can understand why there were so many red seats there, because if that's what they're dishing up this season, then I'm sorry, but that's poor, very poor.
Have we had any confirmation? I was reading and typing there. Have we had any comments from the interwebs, Ash, before I move on?
Yeah, got a question for you all from Mr. J. Be honest, we always are on this podcast. Who underrated Boeing Ugbo? So Boeing Ugbo when we signed him. I've got my hand up.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote a Wednesday week legend here in the great man himself, Steve Beastie. You lot were slagging him off, but I always knew he'd come through. I must admit, we all did the same, didn't we? We all jumped straight on Wikipedia.
We all went to have
a look at his goal stats.
I didn't pass any judgment at all because I just didn't know. And that's probably thing. You can't go with stats. You know, I'm a stat, big stats man. Fucking hate them. But you know, you look at stats. He got 4 goals in 20 for Cardiff, you're thinking, and I'm sure
you can't ignore that, can you? You can't.
But then you look at his Circle Bruges when he was playing Massaba, and they just tore the Belgian league up. And I know the Belgian league is probably equivalent to League One, I would say, but. You look at that pairing, I agree entirely with Ashes. We went with the Cardiff fans saying he was really lazy, but I remember when his first game for us, I thought he looks handy him. He's getting around the pitch. He looks nothing at all as this lazy player that the Cardiff fans had. But is he like our alternative to Rhodes? Was we never gave Rhodes the sort of alleged service that he needed. So he never fitted in with Wednesday and didn't score many goals. Whereas maybe Cardiff play a completely different system and he's proper settled in with us. I mean, it works to our system. It works to how we play, playing that ball around the back. And like you say, his movement is that goal against Bristol City, his first goal, is just one of the best goals I've seen from a striker.
He's scored all sorts of goals, hasn't he? That one at the back post. I want to say Millwall. Was it Millwall?
No,
right.
It was home.
It was at home, weren't it?
Yeah.
I'm bloody. But,
not at Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Thank you, Charlie. I'm glad the women are. Women. We can't even get note right. Bloody women coming in here making us all look stupid.
I think because he's scored all sorts of different goals, and that's great. It's not just one type of goal. I don't know. Just say reach, hitting him from 30 yards. That's all he can score. I mean, we'll take him, but we play a totally different way now, don't we? So, and it's just great that we've got. He's going to get the service because we've got Perveda, Massaba, Gassama, players of that. Windass is not even playing, so he. Do you know what I mean? We're saying these players that we've in the last 5, 6, 7 games, they are much, much, much better than 23rd.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Rotherham played like a team that deserved to wear that, you know, played like bottom of the league.
Yes.
And I think there was a time when so were we, absolutely, at the beginning of the season. You watched us play and you go, yeah, that sounds, you know, teams came and played us and you went, yeah, that's exactly right. But we don't look like that. We haven't looked like that for a while. And with the greatest of respect, well, not the greatest of respect to Rotherham, with a modicum of respect to Rotherham, just enough to not get cancelled online, like, they played like shit and they got a shit result for it. I think they were lucky.
And they got what they deserved. Now, listen, I'm gonna try and get some, South Yorkshire solidarity on this. Now, Rotherham can't afford to compete in the championship. Their chairman just doesn't have the financial backing to compete in the championship. And there's part of me that feels quite sorry for him, but bear with me on this. Like, you know, having grown up in and around Rotherham, and it's not an affluent area. It's not a mega area. They need something to get behind. They need something to get up for. And sometimes we have it, you know, the other season when Sheffield United went up, they had something to cheer and shout about. When Huddersfield went up, they had it. Rotherham just don't seem to have it. And there's part of me that kind of thinks, ah, God damn it. Like, you know, I like us all being in the same league where we have a proper tear up. I actually, you know, I really enjoy it when that happens. But unfortunately, Sheffield Wednesday were 1-0 winners, and we absolutely said to them and condemned them to relegation, most likely. Now,
Dan, just before you finish, sorry, I just want to say the final whistle, like, obviously, we got the players coming over, got the claps, and got all the olays, and, you know, all that. And the amount of fans that stayed behind on the sides. it was great. There was this old, apologies if he's not, he looked at my eyes as, like, say, flat cap on, big thing. And he stood there and he lifted his jumper up and he got Wednesday and he's thinking, it's sort of like, getting it like that. Absolutely brilliant. And there was my lad, a few of his mates, he knows a diehard Wednesday fans, are sat there right in the corner as close to the Wednesday fans as they could get. Like, just sat there like that, like sat there on the seat like that. And when Wednesday scored, you could see him look round, and then he gives a little. And but fair play to, like I said, the Wednesday fans. There were some Rotherham fans giving it all the lot, and it was the banter between the songs and everything between the fans. Oh well, not between the fans, the Wednesday fans at the Rotherham fans, should I say? Because was top notch as it always should be in a local game.
So there we are. Now, fortunately, we won because everybody else around us still managed to win. Now, Ash, you had a request there that I know will have given you the twitch, and it gave me the twitch because editing it was an absolute nightmare. What did it say? It said, we need to bring back the TWW WhatsApp voice messages back for the running. Now, our paymaster generals over at TalkSport, I don't know if you've listened to them the last couple of weeks, they've brought that in. They've copied your idea, Ash. You've now got people on TalkSport leaving WhatsApp voice messages. Never seen out like it. Now, there was also one here, Simon. Who would you replace Pervader with on Friday night?
Shit a break.
Now, obviously, you know, Windass should be the first one there, but, you know, you've got to think about...
I don't know whether he's fit, is he? I don't know if he's fit. I'd probably be looking at the gas man, to be honest. I'd probably look at Gassama. Him and Masaba play in the same team? I'd be looking at the gas man, to be honest.
I think the gas man could go out where Masaba is and we could try and chuck Masaba in that support striker role. But, you know, we never know. Now, listen, my apologies, Simon. I've got to cut you off there. My apologies. But what I've got a guest on the show tonight. So what's happened is Sheffield Wednesday have released their accounts this afternoon. And so there's only one person in Sheffield Wednesday circles.
Chazira.
Just second person that...
Chazira's accountant.
Does he exist? Is he a thing?
The dinner lady.
No, Gaz Robinson. Gaz Robinson.
About six or seventh down the list of somebody we want to hear from in the Sheffield Wednesday.
Momo Diaby.
Momo Diaby.
That was such a good time.
The CEO of Boeing.
We're building him up here, aren't we?
We are.
Ladies and gents, it's Pete. It's Pete. Now let me get this right. It's Pete Lerman. Yes, is that how I pronounced it, Pete?
Close enough.
Now, Pete's the stat man. If you've not seen him on the interwebs, Pete's the stat guy that gets all the stats together. Breaks down the numbers. Tells all about it. Now, Pete, by the help of Holly's auntie, I've managed to get you a theme tune here together because, you know, we read it as Loman, but the way in West Yorkshire they pronounce Loman, they pronounce it Lerman, which is actually, you know, factually correct, right? So we needed somebody in West Yorkshire to say it out loud. And I put some Danish things in there. So here's your little theme tune.
Introducing Classic from Danepeg.
Lego tow truck, come in tow truck. Emergency on Sunnydale Bridge.
Inchworm.
The lowdown.
That was funnier than what I thought it was going to be, if I'm honest. For those who weren't watching, we had Danish Bacon, Lego, Hans Christian Andersen, and then the Little Mermaid statue, and then Holly's auntie got the law down, which is absolutely spectacular. Now, Peter...
Why are we not award-winning?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
I don't have no idea.
Now, Peter...
You know why?
The accounts have come out this this afternoon. Now, I appreciate you're not exactly fine-tooth combed it, but is there any opportunity you can give us some kind of overview of where we sit as a club? Are we getting shut down?
We're not getting shut down. What we're in the similar spot to what we've always been really dependent on, Dave and Chinchiri, funding the club from here on in. The interesting thing, if you look like further back in time, is the fact that we've actually returned to similar sort of place we were in when Emil Mandarić was chairman. The losses have returned to around the same size as when he was chairman, and he was quite desperate to get someone in to increase the funding in the club. So I find that quite interesting as a little. Historical interlude that.
So what you're saying is, in 9 years we're back where we started.
pretty much, yeah. £200 million lighter, Mr. Chinchiri. But other than that, we're pretty much back to where we were.
Smashing. Now, yeah. Chaps, does anybody? Now, don't forget, get involved in the comments. Ash, Simon, Charlie, have you got any questions for Peter in reference to the accounts, or shall I ask him to give us a brief little summary, just like he has done about some actual stats and figures?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where to start. I don't know what I don't know. Like,
is it the perceived 39 million over three seasons? Is that still the thing? And are we close, or are we nowhere near? Or I'm assuming we're close.
We're not anywhere near getting to that, because it is £39 million over 3 years. And the accounts for last year, for the year before 2021-22, the losses weren't very high either. So those two seasons alone give us a room for a loss this season of probably around £30 million, which you won't get anywhere near, by the way. So it's not like we if anyone uses the excuse that we're too close to breaking the spending limits set by the EFL, it's not true, because we're very far off, because we have reduced our expenses quite significantly after going down into League One.
Yeah, I noticed that from the last ones, actually. I think Kieran Maguire did a piece on it a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? Now, if we're not getting close to it, my question obviously on everybody's lips is, let's say, for example, we're only at 30 million. Does that mean we can spend 9.5 million going forward?
Well, yeah, technically we could.
Come on! But yeah, need your pocket, would... DC. Pete said so.
Yeah. If apparently we have to fund it ourselves, though, as far as I understand it, but who knows? But if he had the money, or his dad had the money, or whoever funds Chinchiri's businesses, or whatever it is he calls them these days, we would be able to spend a lot more money than we are this season, that's for sure. It's a big change, because actually the last two seasons, if you sum together the money received from transfers, is actually higher than the money we've spent on transfers those two seasons, which is a far cry from when we spent £10 million off the wall on Jordan Rhodes and what have you in those crazy years of Chinchiri's earlier part of his reign. So it's a big change, and it's not like you won't get a football club at championship level that will be breaking even, but considering the players we've signed for this season and the players who left in the summer, we won't be spending tons on wages either this season. That's highly unlikely. So with the extra broadcast income, which is around £8 million higher in the championship than it is in League One, we could potentially be in a better place this season than we were in the season these accounts cover 22-23. So it's a step in the right direction in that sense, and I mean, staying up in the championship is actually even more important financially than it was, because from next season on the new EFL TV deal will start, and then you're looking at £12 million a season rather than £10 million a season from broadcast income, whereas in League One, it's probably going to be around £2 to £3 million. So that's the difference on broadcast income alone from being in the Championship to being in League One. And that's a huge chunk of our total income. There are multiple reasons why it would be wise to stay in the Championship, but finances is definitely one, because if we do go down, we would be looking at, if Tansiri does not want to keep up the losses.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
We will be looking at reducing the wage bill quite a bit once again. And considering we've just added some potentially saleable assets in Musaba and Gassama, for instance, that would be unfortunate, to say the least.
Yeah, because, you know, we're also paying players like Lee Gregory, for example. We're paying him, and he's not even in the squad. But if we go down, we might look towards Gregory to try and score some goals. There's a couple of questions we've had from the interwebs here. Lewis has gone with, do you think Chancery has learnt his lesson, or do you think his funding is running low? I mean, there's a lot of rumours about Chancery being skint. I won't go as far as calling him skint. I just feel like he doesn't know how to spend it, or, you know, whether he can or not. You know, where do you fall?
I think there's multiple layers to it. On the one hand, has he learned his lesson? I don't see any indication he has. If he'd learned his lesson, he would realize that he's not the best equipped person in the world to run a football club. So If I have an investment in a football club or in any business, I would get the best possible person in to run that business, like he's done on the management side.
Are you applying for a job now, Peter? Is that what you're doing?
that would be even worse than Tansiri, probably. I'm just saying it doesn't indicate a guy who's learned his lesson if he keeps the decision structure of the club as him and the manager. That's I think you'll find clubs in like National League that have a bigger decisions tree than we have, for instance. So that indicates to me he's not learning his lesson. The other question, is his funding running low, or is he able to fund losses? It seems like he's able to fund some losses at least, and can keep doing that. So whatever this source of money is, business profits from these supposed businesses he owns, which have no trace whatsoever on the internet, whether it's an allowance from his dad or whatever it is, the size of it is probably what I think he plows all of it into the club as much as he can, but he's not able to plow as much into the club as he probably should be able to do if he indeed wanted the club to aim for the Premier League, which mm-hmm. was his mission when he bought the club. Yeah, so he's a bit stuck. He's a bit stuck, like in a purgatory, where he can't just stop funding the club entirely, because then
he's lost £200 million.
Yeah, and on the other hand, he cannot really up that funding unless he wants to let other people in on making decisions in the club, because he's totally welcome and free to issue shares. I would buy a share. I guess many other fans would, if that meant we could get a say in how the club is run and be a part of decision making, and that would actually supply funding to the club,
right? Go on, Charlie. Lewis, that was a great question. A lot better than Holly going for Danish stats, lad. So that's nice, isn't it?
That's Holly, my name, though. So
Holly, go on. Chaz, go on.
Well, in one of Chancery's many, statements, he made a comment along the lines of like that season ticket money barely even like covers, you know, bridges the gap or whatever. Like, Is that accurate? Like, is that kind of shown in the accounts that what we are paying for season tickets is not touching the sides?
It is actually the big true hole
that is our accounts. Yeah. Is that season ticket money plugging that hole?
Yeah, the 22, 23 accounts show that we have wages of around 16 million. Now that will be inflated by promotion bonuses. The season before was £12.5 million. Even those two figures at E1 level, even with the gate receipts we have in the championship, likely it's not getting close to that. It's probably around £10 million, a figure similar to that some, but. That it doesn't really get at the issue if you're looking at season tickets as something that should fund the entire club, because the main source of income for football clubs these days is broadcast income and it's commercial income. It's even more pronounced in the Premier League, obviously, but we are the club of the top two tiers. We are the club that derive the largest share of our income from match receipts, that is from season tickets and from tickets sold. So we rely even more on tickets than any other club does. So to come out and say that we should, yeah, exactly. And then you have the marginal difference in it. I mean, if you raise season ticket £100, it's you can do the maths in your head. You're not going to raise millions of pounds if you sell 18,000 season tickets. But you are going to price a lot of people who are Wednesday fans out of going to football matches in a stadium where one in five seats every game on average is empty. That does not make sense to me.
Wow.
I've got a question.
Go on, Ash. Yep. So, sorry, my finger slipped there. Go on, Ash.
Now, you know this the statement Chancery put out about this £2 million, was it £2 million a month he was... Is there any sign of that in those accounts, or is that something that is it may have embellished, or because we were all worried about that, weren't we?
I hasten to add that I am not a trained accountant, as you can probably hear from my accent, I'm not an English national either. So, I'm definitely looking at this with the outsider's eye, to say the least, but there are two separate issues. The accounts cover how the numbers of the money we earn and the money we expend match up against each other. But when Chancery talks about funding, he talks about cash flow, which was also the issue during COVID. It's one thing is having your bills and your receipts lined up in order and making and adding the sums together. But when you have an actual bill to pay, for instance, the players' wages, which makes up the lion's share of our expenses, then you have to have the money in the account. So you might have a period of a season, which would typically be the autumn going up to winter, where the income is less because you get a lot from season tickets, typically in the spring and the early summer. And I think that is behind why Chancery has pushed the opening of season ticket sales earlier and earlier on for each year, even going as far as doing it before Christmas, before that was scrapped, of course. So I think that is simply because of the cash flow. I think he might have restrictions on how much money he can transfer to the club and into the club's accounts every month or something like that. We don't know. We've not been able to question him on it. And I would imagine if we did ask him, he would say, "Trust me, you don't need to worry about that." Just like he's put in the accounts. Actually, there's a funny little note that says, "Yes, this club uses key performance indicators like any other business, but because this is a special business, we do not need to disclose them in the accounts." So he's basically saying, "Trust me in an accountant."
Trust me, lads. I've got it sorted.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. So
listen,
definitely that is where we have to, and unfortunately, I do not trust him, but we have to trust him to continue funding the club until that time where that someone else might be able to take over the club from him.
Well, let's hope that happens in the future. Pete, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Wecker, we can get hold of you on the socials on X. What's your handle on there?
It's P. Lohmann, L-O-E-H-M-A-N-N. So, yeah.
There you are. He said it, Lomond. Pete, thank you so much. See you later.
Introducing Classic from Dingpeg.
Lego tow truck, come in tow truck. Emergency on Sunnydale Bridge.
Inchworm. The lowdown.
Oh, there you are. That was Pete. He's good, isn't he? He's right. Good. He learns that, doesn't he?
He knows his stuff. So, but I'm just worried, like, you know, when anything else happens and we want a guest on and we go, oh, we need someone professional, knows what they're talking about to come on. And they look at previous shows and go, well, what's going to happen? You're going to have your own little highlight reel of wherever you're from or taking the piss out of something. They're going to go, I really want to go on that award-winning podcast. They do such good work. They treat their guests with the utmost respect. So professional, Daniel.
I just thought that linesman from the Rotherham game had put that together, to be honest.
I tell you what, you can't tell I got in 20 minutes before we start recording tonight to make him a theme tune. I think I did really well. Right, listen, I know we're short of time because we've been on like an hour, so I'm going to go for another 10 minutes. Chaz, I'm going to give you an opportunity briefly. I'm going to get you on your soapbox to talk about International Women's Day and what you've got coming up this week with the Women Supporters Group and what you've done online with everybody as well.
Yes, so we recorded a very special episode with the fabulous Emma and Beth, myself and Holly, Emma and Beth from the Women Supporters Group. They have got a whole load of stuff going out this week. Most recently, they've posted an interview with Chloe Bannon, the legend, talking all about like football families and all those kind of and she's also their like ambassador of the women's group as well. She's absolutely amazing. And yeah, they are kickstarting their new campaign. Look out for that as well. Everything on their socials, and if you listen to the pod, they explain like all about how they I was wondering whether you were having to quickly cycle through really negative comments.
It was me pressing at the same time as Ash. He's putting it up and I'm taking it off. But what Craig is saying, daughter, love that episode. Hats off to you. We're both trying to get that message out while you were talking there, but we end up fucking it up. In true Wednesday week fashion.
I was panicking. People are commenting, boo, women, shut up. But yeah, it's not all doom and gloom as well. Like that, you know, there's loads of positives in the episode. Like we talk crap about football, of course we do. And sort of share like all the great stuff that they've been doing. But all the, you know, all the kind of nitty gritty important stuff as well. Kind of a look to the future about where we're at and where we need to be. And yeah, you should check it out. It only took Dan 14 hours to edit all the stuff out of it that kept going wrong.
If you fast forward to 22 minutes, I've missed one, and you kind of start talking and go blah 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 blah. I'm going to put a beep there. Beep. Anyway, and let's carry on.
Beat myself.
Yeah, just
it's very stressful
work,
being fudge. Like I just thought, God, panic and just say something controversial. But I thought, I can't. Right? I'm doing this for women. Like if you and you say something controversial, it's boo fudge. But if I say something controversial, it's boo women.
Boo all women. You're the representative of all women. Well, we're going to have another special with Simon called Grumpy Old Owls 1 week. We'll get them all together. We'll get all the grey heads on and we'll be like, do you remember when you used to put immersion on it and it cost you £10? Like that's is that... Yeah, Jazz, honestly,
I haven't listened yet. Is there any cock jokes? Because it's not a Wednesday week without a cock joke. So
I think there's at least four. We were trying so hard not to swear for ages, and then I can't remember what we were talking about. I think we were talking about something like Joey Barton, and like Holly was like, he's just a knobhead. Like we just couldn't not swear. It's like, what are you gonna say? It's always a silly gentleman. It's like, you're gonna say knobhead. And once she opened the floodgates, all the knobheads were coming out. That were it then. That was like game over.
Fair enough. Chaz, you did a great job. Now, I tell you what, we're going to have to do this in a different way because I'm well over time, Anna. So, Ash, we'll come to you first about what we've got going on, or shall we do Plymouth and Leeds preview to start with? Which way do you want to go?
Do the previews first, mate.
Let's do the preview. So coming up, we've got Plymouth Argyle tomorrow night. Get yourself in the comments. I want a prediction from you guys against Plymouth. Simon, how do you think we're going to go?
They're a team on the slide. We're a team on the up. We've got to win it. Every game is a must win. And I know we hate saying it. Is it
Stevie Spence?
It probably is a six-pointer. We do need to win it. We've got to win every chuffing game and hope somebody slips up. That's the only way to go about it. They are a team spiraling down that league. Their manager left. So I'd be saying, 2-0. Karen's put there. I'd be happy with 2-0. Definitely. I don't think it'll be nervy. Sorry, Rum Punch Man. I don't think it'll be nervy. We'll play our game. We'll play just the way we did the other day. And we'll beat them 2-0.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got a few there from the interwebs. Now, after that later on, I'm just going to come to you on that one, Si. Time. After that later on Friday night, we've got Leeds United, Chaz. It's one of them. We are at home. We are under the lights, aren't we? It's Friday night, isn't it? And you'll be there with your cream eggs. How are you feeling about it?
Cream eggs or Leeds?
Get your comments in for your cream eggs. What your thoughts are on cream eggs, but get them in for the Leeds United comments as well. But what about you, Chaz? What are you feeling?
I think playing at home does make a big difference. I don't think it's the same as Leicester more recently, like where, you know, it's, I don't like calling anything a free hit because, like, that's a stupid thing to say.
There are no free hits where we are in the league.
No free hits. But, you know, there is a difference between Leicester away and then playing Leeds at home. I think it would be a crying shame to not at least get a point from them. I think even if we have to play the most defensive game ever and it's absolutely hairy, panicking, you know, that's fine. I think the best we can hope for otherwise is that they don't absolutely batter us. Like, I think with Leicester, we were lucky because I think, we didn't play our worst football there. They peppered two in and it could have been a lot worse. So I'm going to say nil-nil. I'm going to say that I think if we're lucky, we'll just keep it to a bitter note.
Was that your Holly impression there? Bit of note. Ash, Plymouth and Leeds, quick as you can. Go on.
Plymouth, I agree with Simon. Plymouth are heading in the right direction for us, wrong for them. They've got, one of their strikers is out injured as well. I listened to the Hello from the Other Side, and they're not very confident, are they? They are billing this as a must-win game for them, which it is for us. And I know one of the podcasters on here hates that term, and I'll keep saying it, but it is. And apparently, if we don't win on the next four games, then we've still got enough points. You know, we've not got any fear of not going down. So for me, I think we'll win against Plymouth. I think it'll be a 2-0. He'll play the same team, but Bernard will probably come back in. I know Pervadic went off early against Rotherham. He can't play against Leeds, so I'm expecting him to play 90 minutes. 2-0. And then Leeds, just not a battering. That's for me. No. I'm a thing. If we're at home and it's Friday night and all that, and obviously they'll bring 3,856 or whatever they've been given, and they'll be loud, which they always are.
Friday then and Wednesday Sunday. What? Come on, Ash, get with it. Get with the party. Come on. John's comment up there. Leeds were poor against Huddersfield. Come on, put it up. There we are. Come on, we're winning, Ash. It's Friday.
They were. They've got Stoke tomorrow night, so they can do us a favour there.
They can win that one.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a draw.
I think Leeds fans are more up for it than Wednesday fans are. We've got a Leeds fan at work, and he's like, but you can't wait till Friday, can you? And I'm really not that fussed. We need to win tomorrow. I think Daniel plays. We've got to trust him, haven't we? After them subs of the day, Daniel will play the team he feels that suits playing Leeds, and Leeds have been stuttering. So, look, if we get a draw out of it, that'd be a great result, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if we win tomorrow, the pressure's off more on Leeds. But I still think, like, you know, this league's nuts as well. Like, it's always nuts. But, like, in these last few months, I mean, the fact that we're something like 9 points off 12 or something, like, it's just absolutely insane. So, like, you know, anything can happen. It means a lot less to them, I think, than it means to us. Like, it should do on paper. So, I don't know.
I think weren't we 13 points off 21st? And now you're saying we're only 9 points off 12.
Come on. It's Friday then.
Everyone's kind of shifted so much to the point where it's no matter what happens to us, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to everybody else as well. Once I've finished crying.
Let's hope. Now then, Ash, this is where you're going to talk for a long time because you're going to tell us all about the things. Now, I am going to mention that I know we're live and normally this doesn't become an issue. So, Ash, I'm going to put the graphic up for the egg drop for you. And then underneath that, under our egg drop, is the last man standing branding as well. Can you talk about it while I go for a wee?
Of course, Daniel.
Thanks, man.
Old man. Yeah, cheers, everyone. Obviously, you've probably seen on our social medias and everything that we're bugging you all. If you are able to come and donate a egg, and if you do, then you've got your chance to win a home or away shirt, whichever you choose. So come and see us outside the Megastore against Plymouth and against Leeds. Bristol City was fantastic, blown away by the generosity of you Wednesday fans. So we have got quite a few. I'll not say how many eggs, but we've got quite a few. And we've got lots of others donating other bits and pieces as well. So please do come and see us. I believe the Easter Bunny and the Easter Bear will be there again. So bring your little ones for a photo and stuff like that. It'd be fantastic. So please do. And raise lots of eggs for PACT and the Sheffield Children's Hospital. And then obviously the next one is obviously we are still raising funds for our community thing where we help obviously disadvantaged people get to Hillsborough and experience the Sheffield Wednesday for all its glory. So all those people that can't make it, we've donated tickets to the Armed Forces, to the Women Supporters Group, to PACT, who is one of our charity thing for the egg drop. So come get involved. Last man standing. All you have to do is pick a team every week. That's it. If your team wins, you go through to the next round. If it loses, you're out. So, sorry. But you've got a chance to win the jackpot. There's 70% of the jackpot. What we collect is the jackpot. And I think that stands at about 350 quid or something like that now. And then 30% of it is going towards our community fund, like I say. So details are there and it'll be all over our socials. So please get on board and have a bit of a laugh in the WhatsApp. Thank you very, very much for all of your support this season. It's very much appreciated. Very much.
Ash, you absolute hero. You kept it going there. I couldn't stop peeing. You know, it was one of them really long ones, like, you know what I mean? Like a proper
Austin
dad pee.
Powers.
Yeah, I'm in my 40s now, so you know what I mean? There's gonna be things that are happening. Like, you know, when you're 40, like, Ash, have you noticed anything?
Not all of you's in his 40s.
You know what I mean? Have you ever, like, Charles? Listen, I'm gonna level with you, bro. There's some things happen to a man when you're 40 that I wasn't ready of. Now, Simon and Ash are both fathers, right? And and I know now that they're going to talk about these things. Like, you know, when do you remember the point, lads, where you couldn't keep up with your son anymore? Like, is that a thing? Like, you know, where your body just can't do what you wanted it to. They're still wet, Sham, and I've still got wet hands. That's why I'm waving them. Like, I'm
not doing Bernard.
Sean Bernard. Yeah. That's what's happening. They're still moist. I'm just suspiciously wet.
Oh, he's got moist hands.
That's what the T1 were doing then. They weren't just doing that. They're just being for a piss. And then just going,
he's Sean. Andreas, you know, broken. Andreas,
everybody's
broken.
Complained about the broken Andreas and the no what water. That's what they're doing. But yeah, there's a few things that happens to a man when he turns 40. And do you know what? I'm struggling. One of them, not being able to sleep through the night without peeing. That's a thing. I can get in the bin. Hang on,
don't
I'm going to turn
in
this.
The bin. Pee in the toilet.
At our sexual peak. Don't worry. Hey.
Dan,
I've not even begun to peak. I'm
Dan,
a five-star
just
man.
Just wait till you hit 50, mate. Just wait till.
I ain't got room for more things to go wrong with
things
your body.
Start dropping off.
I'm constantly in Turkey getting shit chopped off my body and things plugged in my forehead. Like, I don't want more things going wrong. I ain't got enough money for keeping up for being 50. I'm not interested. It's time for the conversation. Yeah, I'm menopausal. That's what's happening. Listen, I'm going to wrap this up. I've just ended on a menopause joke for International Women's Day. Don't forget to give Chaz a listen twice nightly in 50s Fudge. That's all right. Anyway, see you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And puts it in the air. Aidan Flynn wins the goal. It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there? Yes! Oh my word!
The Wednesday week.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Automate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.